Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today on our Green Scene Report, we have an update on a proposed sand mine in Lakeside's El Monte Valley, including concerns raised by environmentalists and by an emergency room physician on potential health impacts of the project. We have an important alert today for parents in Alpine about an attempted kidnapping of a 10-year-old girl. And then we'll get some information for you from the National Weather Service on why this may be a wet winter. Hear about protests against Planned Parenthood in San Diego recently, and about revelations regarding a video made by an anti-abortion group. Then hear about an unusual call that El Cajon police responded to involving a 5-foot-long lizard on the loose. Our newsmaker interviews today are with the founders of Visionary Dance Theater, which also has community and youth theater groups on their successful efforts to help disadvantaged kids get involved in the performing arts and even have successful careers utilizing their talents and passions for performing. Hear how a glass bottle ignited a blaze in Borrego Springs. And then on Destination East County, we'll bring you all the most fun and festive events coming up, from a percussion concert to dinner in a mountain meadow this weekend, with even more events coming up in the next couple of weeks, including a powwow, a bluegrass festival, and a deep pit barbecue. On the second half of our show today, Tribal Beat host Leon Thompson interviews Barona Tribal Council member Beth Glasgow on Barona's upcoming powwow. We'll also have news from the sheriff warning about a jury scam and a warning about scams targeting students seeking to consolidate their student loans. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Residents, environmentalists, and medical experts presented strong evidence for why a proposed sand mining project in Lakeside's El Monte Valley should not be approved. The opponents of EnviroMine's proposed 167-acre sand mine project spoke out Wednesday night at a scoping meeting conducted by the county's planning department staff. Public comment remains open until September 14th, after which an environmental impact report will be drafted. Dr. Christy Walker, an emergency room physician, testified about the confirmed presence of valley fever in El Monte Valley, evidenced in the treatment of both people and pets who contracted the potentially lethal illness in this valley. She indicated that valley fever does not just affect the lungs, but can affect multiple organs. Her concern is that mining, which lifts layers of sand to dig the 100-foot-deep, 182-foot-wide mining pit, would release valley fever spores into the air, greatly increasing exposure and infection. Billy Ortiz, a naturalist and historian, shared that thousands of children and adults enter the valley every year to visit local businesses in El Monte Park. He said that if sand mining is allowed here, the potential for valley fever-infected sand to be carried out to other regions in the county on those visitors will be increased. Carrie Womack Chambers posted a cautionary note on Facebook after the meeting. Her note says, "If people get valley fever, they will have a lot of people suing them for the loss of their health." Some residents also voiced concerns over well water and groundwater, but Crystal Howard with EnviroMine insisted, "We don't anticipate impacting anyone's wells. We don't anticipate impacting groundwater," adding that if the project does impact drinking water, the company will make reparations. El Monte Nature Preserve LLC, the project owner, claims having a local sand mine will help the county have a supply closer to job sites. In a press release sent to East County Magazine, they say it would reduce freight costs and traffic that could eliminate 4 million highway truck miles per year, releasing 14 million fewer pounds of carbon dioxide emitted into the atmosphere every year. Michael Beck, a principal in the project, has touted it as an environmental reclamation project, claiming the intent is to restore riparian habitat after the project is completed decades from now. But that argument got a lot weaker this week after the Lakeside River Park Conservancy, which was formerly affiliated with Beck, announced that on Tuesday its board unanimously passed a motion opposing the project, concluding, "The project will have substantial adverse impacts. As a result of these serious concerns, we cannot support the project." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is DeVario Bell with a Crime Beat Report. Two men in a white minivan tried to lure a 10-year-old girl into a vehicle. On Monday, August 24th at noon, Sergeant L. Whalen with the Alpine Sheriff Station reports. The girl was playing in an apartment complex in the 2000 block of Arnold Way in Alpine when one of the suspects approached and offered her a ride, saying they had candy in the van. The girl ran away and hid in some bushes. The white van had tinted side windows, a pink breast cancer sticker on the back door, and two lumber boards on top. One suspect is described as a white man with a freckled face, wearing a black hooded sweatshirt with drawstrings pulled tight around his face and black sweatpants. There is no description of the second suspect. The girl's parents were notified. The sheriffs seek the public's help to locate the van and the suspects who are wanted for harassing and annoying a child. If you have information, please call the sheriff's non-emergency line at 858-565-5200. You can also be eligible for a reward up to $1,000 for information leading to an arrest by calling Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477.
This is Tasha Matthews with East County Magazine. National Weather Service forecasters are predicting a wet winter in San Diego due to the probability of a strong El Nino, perhaps the strongest since records began in 1950. An El Nino occurs as a result of warming ocean surface waters, which release heat into the atmosphere over the Pacific, creating a chain reaction that can result in cloud formation, storms, and heavy rainfall. In Spanish, the term El Nino means the Christ Child, so named because fishermen off the west coast of South America noticed the Pacific Ocean waters often tended to warm around Christmas time. While the El Nino will likely help alleviate the drought-parched Southern California, a single wet winter is not expected to end the four-year drought, the worst in the state's history. For more information on El Nino update, visit climate.gov.
Hundreds of people demonstrated outside Planned Parenthood locations in San Diego County last Saturday as part of a nationwide protest in over 300 cities. The protesters seek federal defunding of Planned Parenthood after the Center for Medical Progress, a California-based pro-life group, published excerpts of undercover videos that showed Planned Parenthood staff discussing the harvesting of tissues from aborted fetuses. The seventh and the most disturbing video showed Dr. Deborah Nucatola, Planned Parenthood's Senior Director of Medical Services, talking about how to provide intact organs for researchers. On the video, she stated, "If we alter our process and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, then we can make it part of the budget." But CNN reports New York University bioethicist Art Kaplan says that altering an abortion procedure to preserve body parts would actually violate medical ethics. The video also featured Holly O'Donnell, an ex-procurement technician for STEM Express, who said she saw evidence that Planned Parenthood aborted intact fetuses, including one case where she claims she tapped the body of a fetus after the brain had been extracted and claims the heart started beating. STEM Express severed its ties to Planned Parenthood last week after earlier videos surfaced. RH Reality Check reports that at least one aspect of the latest video was falsified. The video shows what appears to be an aborted fetus while the audio describes the purported brain removal. But in fact, the image was of a fetus from a miscarriage, not an abortion. Photographer Alexis Fretz of Pennsylvania has said she published the image on her own website with a description of her experience undergoing a premature delivery. Makers of the video have accused Planned Parenthood of selling fetal organs. Federal law forbids the sale of fetal tissue, but does allow recovery of costs when tissue is provided for medical research aimed at helping to find cures for diseases such as Alzheimer's. Planned Parenthood has denied selling any fetal body parts. The organization has provided fetal tissue to STEM Express for stem cell research, but denies that any laws were broken. It is unclear whether the case on the video was a voluntary or involuntary heartbeat, to use the medical term. If voluntary, meaning beating on its own without outside stimuli, then that would be a violation of federal law not to take efforts to save a baby that's born alive even after an abortion. The Born Alive Infants Protection Act, signed into law by President George W. Bush back in 2002, extended legal protection to an infant born alive after a failed abortion attempt. A heartbeat is among the criteria listed in that bill for determining life. In late-term abortions, which are done only rarely, an injection is customarily given to stop the heart of the unborn fetus before any abortion procedure to terminate a pregnancy can be done, That's for humane reasons. Reasons for late-term abortions can include fetal abnormalities, health, or life of a mother at risk. The graphic nature of the videos has fueled anti-abortion sentiments among protesters here. Some carried signs that read, "Babies' Lives Matter," and "Adoption, the Loving Option." State Senator Joel Anderson, a Republican from Alpine, has denounced Planned Parenthood and says our government should no longer be their partner. Pastor Jim Garlow from Skyline Wesleyan Church in East County spoke at Saturday's rally downtown. He called the situation a modern holocaust of unborn babies. But there were also counter-protesters who turned out in support of Planned Parenthood, which provides birth control, pap smears, breast exams, and other women's medical needs in addition to abortion services. And abortion services are actually a minority of the organization's budget. Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest issued a written response to the latest video, stating, "These false claims are being used to advance a political agenda to ban abortion and to defund Planned Parenthood." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Leaping lizards. That's what El Cajon police officers were saying when they collared an unusual suspect spotted rambling through backyards along Helix View Drive. Though a caller reported a possible alligator, the roving reptile turned out to be a large iguana, native to the tropics. But Fox 5 News reports that the 5-foot-long iguana put up a struggle, whipping officers with its tail before being taken into custody. Police were able to locate the owner and return the missing lizard. However, East County Magazine has learned this may not be the only giant iguana on the loose locally. One of our writers informed us last week that her house guest in La Mesa's Lemon Avenue neighborhood reported seeing a large green reptile 2 or 3 feet long that he believed to be a green iguana lounging around near fruit trees in her backyard. So please be on the lookout. This has been Ed Barena with East County Magazine's Crime Beat Report.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, my very special guests are from Visionary Dance Theater. I have with me Mickey Monerath, the business director, and Spencer John Powell, the artistic director. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Spencer, let's start with you. You were a career dancer, I understand. Tell us what your vision was in starting Visionary Dance Theater.
Well, I sought out to start Visionary Dance Theater, which is a professional dance company, and its school, Visionary School of Performing Arts, to give opportunity to underprivileged youth the opportunity to study in a professional setting with professionals at very low cost, and our scholarship-sponsored programs that we have through our education fund.
Marvelous. And I understand that you know firsthand how important it is for young people to get those kind of opportunities. Can you share a little bit of your own background?
Yes. I grew up in a very low-income family, a single mother who couldn't afford these things. When I was about 8 years old, wanting to be on stage and perform and dance and those kinds of things, the lessons were too much for mom. So I was able to find sponsors or have people sponsor me through my youth as a child. From 8 to about 18 years old, I was able to participate in programs for free, which enabled me to go to college, being one of the first ones in my family to graduate high school and go to college. So it was a big deal for me, and I wanted to contribute and give back, and I realized that there were many youth out there that were very, very talented and just were lacking the training or the place to be where they could express their artistic selves. So it was very important to me to open up a performing arts institution where we could provide these services to our children and young adults who might be missed or overlooked, and have them expressing that kind of talent and getting that kind of training. So that's what we specialize in.
What a wonderful mission that you have there. And I understand your own career, you danced all over the place.
That's correct. I've traveled all over the country, being able to perform. Of course, I'm from Utah, and so my beginnings began there, of course. I performed with such institutions as Utah Musical Theater. I've performed with Penny Dunnelston, who is a former ballet dancer with the New York City Ballet, another language performing arts company, Ogden Contemporary Dance Theater, just to name a few.
Magnificent. Mickey, you also do outreach to the schools, I understand. Can you share some details on that?
Yes, as part of our mission to share the performing arts with the community, we additionally do outreach with the public schools. So currently we are doing outreach with Point Loma High School. We have our professionals go into their performing arts department and participate, whether it's in choreography or providing direction. This provides a great opportunity for the kids to work with professional performing artists. And it can be very inspiring for them, especially if they're looking for a, you know, life on the stage or in the performing arts.
So I understand that right now you're located on the border of East San Diego and La Mesa, so you're serving both the East County as well as the San Diego communities. Can you tell us, Spencer, about some of the types of dance and theater experiences that your students are learning?
Yes. We have a comprehensive ballet program from the ages of 8 years old to 19 with the Visionary Youth Ballet, which is led by our education and outreach coordinator, Kiona Darlin. And we have, of course, the Visionary Dance Theater itself, which is a professional dance company of 6 members. And we have the Visionary Youth Theater, which mostly produces musicals, and that's from the ages of 18 to 19 as well. And we also have the Visionary Community Theater, which consists of semi-professional to professional adults. We also include parents of some of our children in the Visionary Community Theater unit as well. And of course, we have modern dance, tap, hip hop, vocal lessons, acting, scene study. You name it, we do it there. One of our next big goals is to form and start the Visionary Youth Orchestra.
Wow.
Which we have been talking about for the past year and a half and hope to receive funding to get that going.
Let's talk about funding for a moment. Now, you mentioned that your specialty really is helping reach out and give opportunities to disadvantaged young people who are talented but might not otherwise have the opportunity to develop those wonderful talents as you yourself were able to do growing up. Where do you get your funding from?
Mostly from citizens of San Diego and San Diego County.
You're nonprofit.
We're nonprofit. Before productions, I write letters. I do whatever I need to do to solicit funds from individuals.
So it's largely individual philanthropists at this point?
Yes, at this point. We are now writing grants, trying to get funding through grant writing. But right now, we have an education fund set up where people can go in and donate. Some of our donors come in and they fund specific students and pay their tuition.
Oh, wow.
We also have sponsors who sponsor and pay for private lessons for our students. And people just come in and generously donate to our education fund, which has been a blessing. More than half of our students are on scholarship or sponsored. And the other percentage, which is probably about 40% of our student base, they're paid customers, but we have such a low fee that those parents, like I have to mention, the parents that are paying customers also double up and not only pay their children's tuition, but also help us out in making sure other children are covered as well.
It sounds like a tremendous program for the community. Mickey, I understand that there are some shows coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about what's on the agenda?
Sure. In September, on September 10th, we open up Hairspray, which is our Visionary Community Theater, as well as our Visionary Youth Theater. That's over at the Performing Arts Center at Point Loma High School, who is one of our outreach partners.
And Spencer, for listeners who may not be familiar with Hairspray, can you tell us a little bit about the show?
Well, Hairspray takes place in 1962 in Baltimore, right during the racial tension. of that time. It's a show that's about segregation and trying to integrate. Mm. 1962 was that era when, at that time when we were still kind of in the 50s, but
yeah, civil rights movement.
Yes, and change was in the air.
Yeah.
And so that was that turning point in 1962 where the youth were starting to stand up against the establishment of that time and trying to integrate things such as schools and hairspray. That particular storyline, it's a television show, a dance television show reminiscent of, American Bandstand kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so it's filled with a lot of dancing, a lot of humor, and some serious moments to really think about it. And we chose this particular show for the reasons that are happening today in the news,
too. I was just going to say, yeah, I think those issues are resonating once again today with all the headlines we're seeing about racial tensions and police violence and so forth around the nation.
Yeah.
I would imagine there would be a lot of interest, again, in the topics that, these sort of timeless topics that that show raises.
Yes. And there were just issues just several months ago in Baltimore, the same kind of issues, like history repeating itself almost.
Yeah, so that's right. Mickey, what else do you have coming up?
So also coming up in on October 16th and 17th is Visionary Dance Theater's Fall Dance Concert titled Shades. Over in La Mesa at the Kauai Sun Studio.
Ah. Now, tell us about that show.
Well, we have two exciting guest artists. One is the internationally acclaimed choreographer Jean Travers, who came down just about a month ago to set her piece, One Drop, on the Professional Dance Company. And that piece is about the California water crisis, the drought that we're going through. So it's pretty relevant for today's time. It just got off of a run in China and will be making its California debut here with Visionary Dance Theater. We also have Natalia Verlerdi, who will be doing a work of hers from her graduate school days called Garden Five. So we're excited about those two guest artists joining us. And, of course, the beautiful, wonderful, talented Visionary Dancers will be presenting those works.
That sounds like a delightful performance. How many years has Visionary Dance Theater been around?
We've been here for 6 years. Okay. August 1st is our 6th year anniversary.
Very good. And I understand that you've grown so much, you're just bursting at the seams and looking to find a new location. Now, full disclosure, listeners, East County Magazine has talked with them about the possibility of some shared studio space as we're expanding also. But tell us about where you're hoping to go and what the vision for the new space would be.
We are just busting at the seams there at our current location. Our population has grown. It's just been crazy. So we are looking to move to Center Drive, right across from the Grossmont Center, which would provide us additional studio space, give us other people who would come in and join and share the space with us.
Well, very good. So you'd be right here in the heart of East County.
Yes. And we would title the new space Visionary Movement and Business Center.
That sounds very exciting. Looking ahead, what is your vision, each of you, if you were to look ahead 5 years, 10 years, 20 years for Visionary Dance Theater, what do you hope to see happen?
Well, I would like to see, now in our 6th year, we are seeing people grow. Our teenagers are becoming adults and becoming our teachers and working at the studio. I would like see the mission grow and to see more children and young people come into our studios who are maybe hidden over there in the corners because they can't get into the other establishments and bring them forth and share their talent. Of course, growing more and bringing in other artists from around the country to share their expertise with our young people.
So bringing in some well-known, established artists, famous names perhaps?
Oh, yes, we would love to do that. That's, of course, on the forefront of our vision right now is to get people. Right now we're working on the gala. We're working on some big-name artists to come out. We're talking to some agents. And, of course, everything is about the helping of our young people. So we ask people to come at very little price or for free or donate their time to give exposure to our young people. So
that sounds like an amazing cause, and it's just so nice to see someone doing something in the arts, especially given all the cutbacks we've seen in the public schools where arts, unfortunately, seems to be the first thing to go when there are budget cuts. So it's great that you're creating these opportunities for young people to get experience in the arts and to shine and to grow and to pursue actual careers in the arts. Mickey, where can people go to get more information about Visionary Dance Theater if they're interested in lessons for their children or getting involved or volunteering or perhaps being a donor or a philanthropist themselves to underwrite one of these talented young people?
Yes, you can visit our current studio at 7202 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego, or you can just go online at www.visionarydancetheater.org. That's theater spelled with a R-E instead of an E-R.
Very good. I'm going to let you have the last word. What else would you like our listeners to know that I haven't already asked you about Visionary Dance Theater?
I think every time we are exposed to the public, they're quite surprised at the abundance of talent that we have at Visionary. These young people are just some of the most amazing individuals I've been able to work with. In their time at Visionary, we have seen some of our performers go to the Broadway stage.
Really?
Yes, and we have a young man now whose movie is opened on Tuesday.
Fantastic. What's the movie?
The movie Sinister. He's a little kid. He won't be able to watch the movie that he's in, but he will be in a new HBO series.
Wow.
That's premiering this fall. He's also in Hairspray, so you can catch him in Hairspray. So it's just a wonderful blessing to see our young people working in television, commercials, movies, and bigger and better theater programs, as well as dance programs all over the country. So that's been the neatest thing that I think people should know that's happening here in their community, and just to know that these young people really do shine, and I'm so proud of them. None of our students have a GPA of under 3.5. Most of them are 4 point or better.
So these are smart kids
and they're talented. I just don't know how they accomplish these things sometimes because they're at the studio pretty much 5 to 6 days a week in classes, rehearsals, and those kinds of things. But when they're not being worked on stage, they're in the corner doing their homework. I'm just very proud, and we're very lucky and blessed to have these young people around.
Those are such inspirational stories, and I really want to thank both of you for joining us today on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, to share your success stories there at the Visionary Dance Theater.
Yes, thank you for having us out, Miriam.
Thank you very much.
The East County Magazine show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
A fire in Borrego Springs over the weekend serves as a reminder that in extreme heat, it's wise not to leave reflective materials around your home. The reflection of sunlight shining through a glass bottle ignited a couch and trash outside a home on Palm Canyon Drive shortly before noon on Saturday. Fortunately, the Borrego Sun reports, firefighters quickly doused the blaze. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Leon Thompson.
And this is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting Destination East County. This week's Destination East County features dinner in a mountain meadow, a percussion concert, and a classic car show.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including a Native American powwow, a bluegrass festival in Santee, and deep pit barbecue in Descanso.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more.
N. Scott Robinson is a percussionist extraordinaire. He earned a PhD in percussion and currently serves as a professor at Mesa College. This free concert will be Saturday, August 29th, starting at 3 p.m. at Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center. For more information, visit mtrp.org. Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center is located off Mission Gorge Road in Santee.
On Saturday, August 29th, the Volcan Mountain Foundation's very popular series of Fab Feast events will conclude in grand fashion with dinner in the meadow at Paso Grande. That's less than a mile northwest of the historic Julian Town site. All proceeds benefit the Vulcan Mountain Foundation, helping to ensure that the vital watershed sources, wildlands, and wildlife of the Vulcan Mountain Range remain protected, pristine, and wondrous for all generations in the future. The magnificent Vulcan Mountain Range will provide the backdrop to this unique dining experience featuring local farm-to-table fare. For more information, you can visit the Vulcan Mountain Foundation website at vulcanmountain.org. That's VOLCANMT.org.
Christian Rods and Customs Car Club announces its 16th annual Classic Car and Bike Show to be held on Saturday, August 29th from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. at Faith Chapel, located on Campbell Road in Spring Valley. There will be trophies, food, music, raffle, and vendors. Proceeds primarily to benefit Calvary Ranch and Restoration Ranch, two drug and alcohol recovery programs located in San Diego County. This show is open to the public and free to view. For more car show information or to register a vehicle, you can go to the website christianrodsandcustomsd.com.
Lakeside's River Park Conservancy presents its 9th annual Once in a Blue Moon Gala and auction at Hazy Meadows Ranch on Saturday, August 29th from 5 to 9 p.m. Happy hour starts at 5, followed by dinner with dessert and dancing, concluding at 9 p.m. The special guest speaker will be Supervisor Diane Jacob. You can spend a Saturday evening relaxing in the valley's beauty beneath the beauty of a full moon, and all proceeds benefit restoration of the San Diego River, including habitat restoration and creation of new trails. For tickets and more information, you can visit bluemoondinner.org. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Off-Broadway Live in Santee presents the 1960s Singers and Songwriters on September 4th and 5th at 6:30 p.m. Take a step back in time to the supper clubs of Harlem and Manhattan, the food, the drink, the bands, and the music. And that's what Encore Supper Club is all about, but with a modern twist. Remember the sounds of the Righteous Brothers, Van Morrison, the Beatles, Betula Clark, the Mamas and the Papas, Dusty Springfield, Dionne Warwick, the Grassroots, Gary Puckett, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Creedence Clearwater Revival, the Guess Who, and so many more. That's what this night is all about. The event includes a fully catered dinner and beverages. The live combo plays great dinner music. Then Bob and Steve, with musical guests, singing the songs of the best singers and songwriters of all time. Off-Broadway Live is on Cuyamaca Street in Santee. For more details, go to offbroadwaylive.com.
The 45th annual Barona Powwow will be held at the Barona Reservation Sports Park in Lakeside. From Friday, September 4th through Sunday, September 6th, a grand procession will take place at 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, featuring representatives of all tribes participating. There will also be competitions all weekend long, as well as craft and vendor booths. For more information, you can visit barona-nsn.gov.
Fall is harvest time at the wineries across East County, and on September 5th, the Julian Grape Stomp Fiesta will be held at Mangini Winery from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be tons of grapes to stomp, plus wine tasting from local wineries, food and craft vendors, and more. For tickets and details, visit julianca.com.
The 78th annual Deep Pit Barbecue in Descanso will be held on Sunday, September 6th, hosted by Our Lady of Light Parish Church. The preparation starts the night before with the slow cooking of seasoned beef using two cords of oak firewood. The Sunday barbecue and festival takes place starting at 11 a.m. on Sunday, also including crafts, games, and vendor booths, as well as prize drawings. For all the juicy details, you can visit churchbarbecue.com.
The free Hamul Dalzura Community Preparedness Fair this year is on September 11th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Lions Valley Road in Hamul. Last year was such a great success that they've already received lots of interest, and many of the agencies from last year are participating again. They will also be providing free hot dogs and water. If you're interested in exhibiting or wish to get more information, call Carolyn Penn at 619-659-9866.
Visionary Community Theater and Visionary Youth Theater of East San Diego here present Hairspray at the Performing Arts Center at Point Loma High School on September 10th through 12th and again on September 17th through 19th. You can enjoy the diverse and talented visionary casted crew welcoming you to the 1960s. It's 1962 and the 50s are out and change is in the air. Baltimore's Tracy Turnblad, a big girl with big hair and an even bigger heart, has only one passion, to dance. She wins a spot on the local TV dance program, The Corny Collins Show, and overnight is transformed from outsider to irrepressible teen celebrity. But can a trendsetter in dance and fashion vanquish the program's reigning princess, win the heart of heartthrob Link Larkin, and integrate a television show without denting her due? Directed by Michael Sokol and choreographed by Ramon Montes, this production features Matthew Anderson, a physics professor at San Diego State University, as Wilbur Turnblad, and Visionary's own artistic director, Spencer John Powell, as Edna Turnblad. For tickets and more information, you can visit visionarycommunitytheater.com.
The twang of banjos and fiddles will again fill the air while delicious food and beverages fill appetites at the 6th Annual Santee Bluegrass Festival on September 12th. From 5:30 till 9:30 p.m. The one-night festival is a fundraiser that benefits local teen programs, park improvement projects, and the city's recreation scholarship program that subsidizes fees for less fortunate children, families, and seniors. The event takes place at Town Center Community Park East. This year's lineup features two talented bluegrass bands, Box Canyon and High Mountain Road. Admission includes wine and beer sampling, plus tastes of food prepared by local restaurants. This event usually sells out quickly, so organizers advise music lovers not to fiddle around. Tickets are available at the City of Santee's website or at Santee City Hall.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our Festivals and Events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like to add to our calendar, or if you'd like to be a sponsor of the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine, and my special guest today, and it's our honor to have Beth Glasgow, who's a councilwoman with the Borona Indian Tribe. And she's here to talk to us about the 45th Borona Powwow. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did Borona Powwow get started? Let me ask you that first.
In the mid-70s, my father was friends and a member of, I believe it was either the Drum and Feather Club or the Thunderbird Club. And these were made up of members of different tribes from all over the United States. These clubs were brought together out of the Indians that had come to California to get jobs or in the service. You know, in the 1960s, they brought a lot of people to LA, San Diego. In the service, there's a lot of natives who are military. During that time, when you're away from home, away from your family, you're looking for camaraderie with fellow natives. And so during that time in the early 70s, my father was involved with these groups. They wanted to have powwow. And so my father took it to our membership at one of the meetings, and they allowed the powwow to happen on our reservation.
And that's when the Pacific Coast Indian Club ran the powwow.
That was like 74, maybe 1974.
Then the Borona tribe took over the management in the 1990s. And they were natives from all over the United States.
Yes. Yes.
So that tradition still goes on today in
yes.
the Borona Powwow.
Yes, it does. You know, the Plains are normally, the Plains Indians or are normally the ones that have the powwows. If California natives powwows weren't normally their type of gathering. That's more the traditional gatherings with like the bird singing and the peon hand games, if you will, and those types of events. So the powwow was brought to our people by all these natives who had the desire to get together and share camaraderie and enjoy each other's company. And meanwhile, hearing the native, the singing and the dancing and getting back to people or their soul. So when you're a long way from home, you miss that.
Do you have any idea how many different tribes are represented at your powwow?
No, I don't. You know, there's 567 tribes in the United States that are recognized. So there's hundreds. Everybody's a little bit of something. And the ones that participate, they could be hundreds of tribes.
I notice you have two different drumming groups. Now, do they represent two different styles of drumming? Is that what?
Yes, yes. We have a northern style drum. They're called Midnight Express. They're from Minneapolis, Minnesota, I believe.
Chippewa.
Yes. And then our southern drum is from Oklahoma. They're called Bad Medicine. And they're led by Phil Dupoint. The name that we know him as is Joe Fish. And so he's very well known and very well respected in our circles for his knowledge, for his singing, for
And he come all the way everything. From Oklahoma.
Yes.
And
yes.
Minnesota.
Yes. You know, people come from all over the United States for powwows. You know, we're not the only powwow in San Diego. We're not the only powwow in California. We're just one of the longer ongoing powwows. The week before Barona is always on Labor Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
This year it's in September. So September 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Uh-huh.
Prior to that, we used to be the start of what would be called the Cali circuit, you know, the California circuit, because there's powwows that go on weekend after weekend. Once, you know, it would start in Barona.
See what
Paula,
you started?
Yeah. And so now Paula has their powwow the weekend before us.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll start with Paula and it'll go to Barona, then Sequan, Saboba, Bishop, Morongo, Redding, San Ynez, San Manuel, Cabazon, and Spotlight 29 usually has one also. So, you know, you've got several powwows all from September through
December. Boy, I'm going to be busy.
Right. it's a lengthy,
So it's a whole circuit.
Yes, it's a lengthy.
So the other vendors and dancers that go through the whole.
Yes, they go from powwow to powwow, and that's their job. That's their livelihood, is they enjoy it, they love it, they live it, and they raise their family up in that tradition. And so it's good when this time comes around, because you get to see a lot of your friends you haven't seen.
Yes.
Make new friends.
Making new friends.
Eating fried bread.
And eating fried bread. Yeah. Indian fried bread tacos.
Right. So we have, you know, the traditional dancing, and then we have our vendors, a lot of vendors. So the public is invited to come out and watch the dancing and look at the vendors. And yeah, a lot of vendors have a lot of handmade beadwork, jewelry, silver items for sale.
One of the things I've always enjoyed is the regalia, the dress, the just amazing. It looks like a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time, a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people who make their own stuff, it takes hours and years and hours, days, years, finally get your regalia to where you want it. You've got a lot of talented people who seamstresses and tailors, if you will. You know, they make their own shirts, dresses, ribbon work, whatever it is they need. It's an investment.
What is new this year at the Barona Powwow?
We did move our location. It was on the Barona Stars baseball field. However, two years ago, we built a sports park for our members. And so it comes with an intramural field. So we moved everything across the parking lot from the ball field to the intramural field. So it's a big open area, grassy.
How much does it cost to go to the Barona Powwow?
The Barona Powwow is free. They have free parking, free entry.
You have to pay for parking?
You don't have to pay for
plenty
parking.
Plenty of parking?
Plenty of parking.
And where is the Barona Powwow?
Powwow is on the Barona Indian Reservation, which is approximately 7 miles northeast of Lakeside. So you take Ashwood. You'll come to a four-way stop at Ashwood and Willows, and you'll go through this four-way stop up the hill.
On the Wildcat Canyon Road.
Yes, yes.
I live there on Wildcat Canyon Road. Yes.
Okay, so you go up to Barona, you'll drop in the valley, you'll see the casino, and it's about a mile past the casino. As you pass the casino, keep an eye out you'll see the government building on the left side of the road, you'll see the lights, and you'll see a ball field, you'll see the gymnasium. If the parking lot is full in that area, we ask that you go past the tennis courts at the community center building, and there'll be signage pointing you to where to turn to go around.
So the powwow begins on Friday, September 4th?
Yes.
With the gourd dance?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about the schedule for the weekend?
The schedule is the gourd dancing will start at 6 o'clock. And the gourd dancing is a men's warrior society dance. It's an honor society. It's a very prestigious group of people. These were the warriors who looked out for their tribe. They protected, they were the eyes and ears of security, if you will. The songs tell stories of the different battles and how they overtook their enemies.
On Friday night, there's going to be some beautiful regalia.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances of taking some photographs?
You could take pictures from your seats, you know, if you wanted to. But if you wanted to go get pictures of a particular dancer in their regalia, it's always better to ask than to just, some may not want their picture taken for different reasons, you know, that they believe. And so it's always good to ask. More dancers, more often than not, they're happy to let you take a picture with them.
So what happens during the day on Saturday and Sunday?
So, well, Friday night, we start with the gourd dance at 6, and that'll go approximately till 7. The program says grand entry at 7. So depending on if they're running on time or if they have extended the program, the gourd dance program, you know, it may start closer to 8. We call it Indian time. Hopefully we stay on track. But after that will be the grand entry, and then you'll have the regular powwow dancing. And so that will go till about 10 or 11, you know, and then it'll end for the night. And then the next day it'll start at 1 in the afternoon. With a grand entry, the afternoon, Saturday and Sunday, are both usually the youth and the teen portions of the program. Mm-hmm. That's when they'll have their contest and their dancing. So All the adults can dress and dance if they'd like. I like to dress and dance during those times because hearing the music, I never want to waste the good song. You know, I love to dance. I love to participate. We dance for our people, for our, you know, those who can't dance, for... It's our way of our gift giving back to the Creator, if you will.
So you're a dancer?
Yes. Yes. My mother was a Oto Missouri Indian from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so I dress in her style of regalia. My sister is a Southern buckskin dancer. Our whole family participates. It's a good day.
And who's the lead woman dancer?
The head lady dancer head this lady year dancer, is yes. Mrs. Tanya Moore from Oklahoma. Mm. And the head man dancer is her husband, Pat Moore.
Uh-huh.
So, and he's a Northern traditional dancer, and he's also Pawnee Oto tribal member. Tanya is a Cheyenne tribal member. And then Pat is related to me. My grandma and his grandpa were brother and sister.
Oh.
And so.
You're second cousins.
Yes. Enjoy seeing each other and visiting with one another, and it's a good time.
I go to the powwows and I so want to dance. Mm-hmm. Or drum, especially drum. But I don't know how to get started.
Well, you could come out and dance during the intertribals. There's no problem with that. You don't have to be dressed in any kind of regalia or anything. You just follow along and watch the men dance and copy their step.
Right.
But there are different dances too. And that's what they're getting started for singing though is a little different. There's a whole bunch of protocol. And if you're not born up into it, it's best to ask. So one of the singers, you know, start a conversation, you know, with one of the singers. You might speak with one of the guys from the head singer from Midnight Express is Jeremy Dearley. You know, they're from up your way, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's your people up there. So
yeah.
You may have family together.
You
might be related to him.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And a lot of the young singers and groups now, you know, they brought up singing and dancing, you know.
Right.
And it's a lot of... you can bring your tape recorder, you know, you're native, you can bring your tape recorder and listen, and you can tape them, and you can listen to that and listen. That's how my son taught himself how to sing was, he started out singing with Joe Fish when he was 3 years old. You know, he would sit with Joe out at the drum, and he was just a toddler.
Uh-huh.
And so kids love the powwow music and the powwow dancing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we, you know, the Little Hawks enjoy it. They're the head staff. They're the junior staff.
Uh-huh.
And so they'll be the ones leading the program Saturday and Sunday afternoon.
You know, so. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Little Hawks.
Little Hawks.
Yeah, we have our Brona Little Hawks dance troupe. It's a dance troupe that was started by my mother and father in the 1970s, right about the time the powwow started coming out to Brona. Mm-hmm. The kids on the reservation wanted to learn how to do the powwow dancing. We would have lessons and classes. I can remember going to practices and getting out of school to go do different performances at different schools and stuff. It was always kind of a a bonus, you know, as long as we were doing good in school, we could take the time off and go perform for other students. Huh? Thanksgiving is a big time for the Little Hawks. The different schools want to know about Indians and stuff during that time. So, you know, they'll go to the different schools or different events. You know, there's several different events that they've performed at. They've gone to Florida. They've gone to Discover Native America had a big event down in Florida. And so the Little Hawks were invited to go down there. And so they did. It's a great place to learn how to start dancing and go on to different powwows and dance. And it's a great learning opportunity for our kids. And so right now it's been, my sister's been in charge of them for many years. I couldn't even tell you what year she took over. She's been very instrumental in keeping that part of the history going for the kids and the youth.
What about the drummers?
The singers, normally we do have, San Diego is fortunate to also have the Soaring Eagles. They're more or less in downtown San Diego, but they go to all kinds of, they go all over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they, you know, the majority of the people that belong to the Soaring Eagles live downtown. So there's all different reservations, tribes also. Uh-huh. And so they go to different events. Also, Vicky Gambala is in charge of the Soaring Eagles. So that's if you wanted to start singing, that's probably where you would start.
I don't have a singing voice, but I sure could beat on one of those drums. There's something about it that.
Well, you got to be a singer to sit at the drums.
So oh, is that right?
You got to start. You got to be able to start a song, and they'll expect you to start a song. You go to Soaring Eagles, and you learn, right? And you learn the songs, and then when they may or may not have their drums set up. They even come and help us at Barona. So they come and they set up. They'll have their own little corner. They'll have their banner that says Soaring Eagles. Uh-huh. And so you can visit with them and ask them exactly how. If you're not brought up with the drum, then if you're a kid, you could probably pick it up. They're sponges, you know, so the singing and the songs. Uh-huh. But if you're an adult, you might take a little longer to learn them. Mm-hmm. We have spectacular dance exhibitions, singing, drumming, and authentic Native American food booths, selling delicious Indian fry bread dipped in honey and powdered sugar if you like, Indian fry bread tacos, and other scrumptious food. We have, I believe it's 13 vendors. We have 13 vendors.
Describe an Indian fry bread taco.
The fry bread is made of flour, water. I use self-rising flour. So self-rising flour, hot water, and you let
commodity
it rise.
Flour.
Well, then you got to add all the other stuff, baking powder and all that stuff. So you make your dough and then you let it sit and rise and then you ball it up and you make it into however, whatever size you would like your bread to be. And then you fry it in hot oil. Mm-hmm. It's very fattening, but it's also very good. And then they usually put beans and seasoned hamburger meat with vegetables on top.
Wow.
It's a very filling meal.
Yes, it is. Anything else you'd like to tell us about Barona Powwow this year?
Well, we'd like to invite you out. We'd like to invite everyone out to Barona on Labor Day weekend. It's a great event for families. Admission and parking are free once again. You can also catch a shuttle from the casino over to the powwow. So we have free shuttle service. The pickup and drop off is at the south entrance of the casino.
Mm-hmm. And let's it comes see. Straight off the golf course. Get on a shuttle bus and go to the
powwow. Go get an Indian taco.
Yes.
So, you know, we're proud to share our culture, and our 45th annual powwow is a great event to bring your family to. Lots to see, and it's a good time. Now, if you choose to bring your own chairs, you're welcome to bring your own chairs. There will be bleachers. However, it's in September. It might be a little warm, so you might want to bring an umbrella or some kind of shade. And if you don't get a drink at the vendor booths, you know, you'll need to bring your own, you know, water, soda, or whatever you choose to drink. So it's a good time. Come on out and visit.
It's a wonderful place to have a powwow.
Next weekend is Paula, and then Barona's that after that first weekend in September. And so if you would like more information, it's available at our website at barona-nsn.gov, or you can call the tribal office at 619-443-6612, extension 120.
Very good.
It's a 3-day event. We'll feature hundreds of Native Americans from across the country, and we'll showcase traditional tribal dancing as they compete for over $75,000 in prize money. That's not the main reason to come. The main reason is for the camaraderie, the good feelings, and the Indian tacos.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. I sure appreciate that.
No problem. And I look forward to seeing you out there, and it's something that gets in your soul.
Yeah. You know? I really wanted to do it.
So, well, you're Chippewa, so there's no reason why you can't.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
California Attorney General Kamala Harris has issued a consumer alert to Californians based on an increased number of complaints regarding student loan debt consolidation scams. Private companies, often purporting to offer student debt management or student loan consolidation plans, are charging borrowers upfront or monthly fees for what should be free federal loan benefits. These companies may claim that they have a special relationship with the Department of Education or that a special government loan consolidation will be ending soon, and they urge students to use their company services to obtain student loan consolidation or debt relief. Often, these companies will charge an initial application fee as well as a monthly service fee. Consolidating federal student loans is free and can only be done through the Federal Direct Consolidation Program. A direct consolidation loan will combine multiple federal student loans into one loan, resulting in a single monthly payment. Most direct consolidation loans will be eligible for alternative payment plans, including repayment plans that can lower monthly payments based on your income level. Private education loans are not eligible for the Federal Direct Consolidation Program. You can apply for a direct consolidation loan online. Your first step is to read about eligibility requirements and the pros and cons of consolidating federal student loans. You can get that information at studentaid.ed.gov, and click on the How to Repay Your Loans tab, where you can also get information on repayment plans based on your income, as well as special benefits and repayment options for active duty military service members. Now be aware that consolidating loans means you'll owe just one big payment instead of several smaller ones, and while you can save money, it also extends your loan period out for a longer period of time. That site for information again is studentaid.ed.gov. The actual applications to consolidate student loans are available at studentloans.gov, where you can also find a repayment estimator to help you figure out the best repayment plan for your needs. If you have questions about consolidating your federal student loans, you can also contact the Department of Education's Loan Consolidation Information Call Center at 1-800-557-7392, or you can visit studentloans.gov. To file a complaint about a possible student loan debt relief scam, contact the California Attorney General's Public Inquiry Unit. The Office of the Attorney General's website is oag.ca.gov. You can also file a complaint with the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau at consumerfinance.gov. This has been a public service announcement from the California Attorney General's Office. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is DeVario Bell with a Crime Beat Report. The San Diego Sheriff's Department is warning area residents to be aware of phony callers posing as sheriff's officials. Here's how the scam works. The caller tells you that you've missed jury duty and must pay a fine on a prepaid card to avoid arrest, NBC Channel 7 TV reports. The sheriff and the court system do not use prepaid cards. If you receive a call from anyone claiming to be with the sheriff or the court demanding money, hang up and then call the sheriff's office immediately to report it. Impersonating a law enforcement officer is a crime, as is bilking consumers out of money with bogus schemes such as this one.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.